Cool. Okay. Welcome. Thank you all for coming. It's great to see new faces as well. I've met some of you guys. And it's a privilege to be able to be up here and speak, I think. Thank you for lending your ears and focus for the next 20 minutes as I hopefully go through this psalm together with you guys. It's going to be interactive. So I'm going to get you guys to do some speaking on your tables and discussing, or maybe with the people next to you. So be prepared to make new friends. And also, just for us to come together and to just grapple with the series that we're looking through about how Jesus is up close and personal, or the God of the Bible is up close and personal. So let me pray first. And if you'd like to pray with me, let's do that. God, I pray that you'll give us ears to hear and eyes to see as we read and hear your word tonight. Help me speak clearly, and I pray all this in your son's name. Amen. So as humans throughout history, we have been creating objects and systems to provide our security in life. Just as we look around and we see the campus and see all the buildings around us, the buildings that go up are massive, strong, kind of almost seem like they're immovable at times. But we kind of place our trust in them. We invest in them. We seek shelter in them. We trust that it won't fall or collapse as we enter them. Some also could say that humans have created religion or philosophies in life as a provision for our security, not only in this life, but the life to come. It gives us sense of the unknown and the unseen in the areas of life. It can provide people with community, moral compasses, direction, answers to big questions in life, like what happens after death, why am I suffering, what is my purpose here? These areas of life where we don't really know and have no control of, but sometimes religion can fill in these gaps. However, these objects and systems can easily come down on us at any time. And I don't think we have to look far to see examples of it. We just have to look back a few weeks ago with Florida and Texas, with the witness of the destruction of buildings and lives by just a hurricane, or the earthquake in Mexico last week. We can look around at the wars that are going on, how offensive words or languages or past grudge can spark conflicts between countries and affect everyone. Or when our religious leaders fail us and stuff up, or we are shaken, we question our faith and what we believe. So if these things are in place for our security, are we ever fully and absolutely secure? Most of us could say, no, we aren't. And I don't adhere to saying that. But when we look at Psalm 16 and we explore this psalmist's view, he's actually saying there's a possibility of having security in life. So the psalm starts with a plea from the help of the psalmist. And if you don't know him, he is David. And he is known as King David in the Bible to God. When we read the Old Testament books of Samuel and Kings, you could come across a series of, David's life, stories of David's life and the life-threatening situations that he gets in. I'll just list off a few for you guys that don't know. But if you remember Dave's talk last week, he mentions that David grew up as a shepherd boy and his job wasn't all at all cuddly and fun with, you know, spending time with baby sheep. He had to deal daily with the dangers of wolves and lions. Later on in his life, he had to run from his best friend's dad, the first king of Israel, called Saul, because Saul was jealous of David's popularity amongst the people, and he wanted to take down the competition. Finally, once he was on the throne, at the ripe old age, he had to run again from his own son, who wanted to claim the throne for himself. So we could see David's life and could understand, why he would have wanted security and plead for security from God for help and protection. But the closer reading of this passage, we notice that David isn't asking God to help him because he needed it, but to help him because he has already taken refuge in this God. So you might be, what do you mean by that, Cindy? It's kind of his relationship with God is like me or you being an Australian citizen. And we are asking the Australian government to help us because they are the Australian government and they are supposed to be there to look out for us. David asks God to be God and to act accordingly to what he knows of God. This implies also that David knows God already when he asks for help. So how do we know that David has already got a past relationship with God? So we're going to look at verses 2 and verses 5 to 8. So in verses 2, he calls on God using his personal name. Okay, I think in your booklets it says Lord in capital letters. In the Hebrew, it's actually Yahweh. So he's going, Yahweh, my Lord. And this was the personal name that God revealed to the Jews for them to call him by. So for me, I understand it like me calling my pastor at my church, Abraham. So I wouldn't use that term. Yeah, but if it was like that, it was like, I'll be like Abraham rather than pastor. Or maybe it's calling a queen when you meet her, instead of calling your majesty, you're calling her Elizabeth. Hi. Or maybe when you're in primary school and you had to call your teacher, usually by their last name, but instead you're calling the teacher by their first name. So I remember in year 5, finding out the first name of my teacher, who I've only known ever as Miss Hand. When I found out her name was Penny, I was like, whoa. And I remember talking to the students going, oh, I found out her first name, and like just whispering it just in case I would get in trouble. But I wasn't sure whether that fear was because I would get in trouble, or there was also that sense of it's strange to call your teacher by their first name because they're your teacher. But David here calls God using his personal name, Yahweh. And God gives him and the Jews permission to use this name when they speak to him. Next, we look at how David views his relationship with God and how God has acted in both his past, present, and future. So I'm going to get you guys now to talk in your table groups. So looking at verses 2, 5, and 8, I want you to list out what David knows about the God he worships. So I'll give you a few seconds to read these verses again. And just feel free to shout out loud. I personally have 7 points. So if you could get all 7, good on you. If you get more, or even better. Or maybe I just haven't read my passage properly. Hopefully not. But yeah, I'll give you a few minutes and just throw them out. 2, 5, 2, 8. Yep. 5, 2, 8. Yep. That's right. Verses 2 and then verses 5 to 8.
Yeah.
5, 2, 8. Yeah. We are looking at what does David know about the God he worships?
I'm guessing during that time it would be pretty significant having a capital if they didn't have a whole lot of that. No one else will say that you like always using it. So he likes to
But things I want to say. Yeah, potentially was. Yeah, also.
Cool. Does anyone want to throw some out?
He died.
Council.
Council. Which verse is that?
7a.
7a, yes. He who counsels and instructs me. Yep. So David describes how God guides and speaks to him at a daily basis, kind of happening. Yep. What else?
Security, verse 5.
Verse 5, yep. You have made my lot secure. So kind of later. Is that one? That's the one? Yep. Yep. So kind of David is describing here of God, you could say maybe it's two ways of understanding, whether God is maintaining his safety of his belonging, property, like his lot of land, or some people will see it as the lot as in chance. So kind of like when people back then make decisions, they will throw the dice, the lots, and they make a decision depending on how the lots are thrown. So he's saying that God, in all this thing, in making decisions and stuff, God is preserving who he is in some sense. Yep. What else? That's two.
You said the first one was personal.
Sorry?
Using Yahweh as a personal name.
Yahweh, yep. So that's right. That's already done.
That's cool.
Okay, I'll just read out a few more. So in verses 2b, it talks about, apart from you, I have no good. So I think even David, even though he was a king and he probably had everything we could ever imagine, he still didn't consider any of them to be good apart from his relationship and him knowing who God is. You've got another bit in 5 where it's my portion and my cup. So God kind of almost owning, like, God, I belong to you, you belong to me, like, you're very precious. Verses 6, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. David talks about God providing for him currently, and enough and sufficiently. And then verses 6a, he talks about the future. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. So how God even is providing for him in the future. There's something for him. He knows that he could look forward to what God is going to give him. And then at the end, we've got, he is at my right hand and I should not be shaken. So I don't know how many of you guys are married here. I could imagine being, he is my right hand. It's almost like he's at my right hand. He's like my right hand man. He's there. I'm confident in who he is, and he will protect and look out for me. So much I should not be shaken. So David feels towards God is this, he has a relationship with God, and it's this relationship with God that makes his life he considers good. His God counsels and instructs him and keeps him secure. He has acted in David's life in ways that David has seen and acknowledges that it is God's work in his life. This description of David's God seems pretty sweet. I believe that you could relate to this to some extent. Relationships with people provide security and can be good. Yet sometimes what can be good can also be abused. And unfortunately, we know that is not always the case with our relationships that we have with people. Sometimes it gives us insecurity instead. We see this in verses 3 and 4, how David describes people who follow after other gods. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. The relationships that these people have with their gods, David describes as one that will bring them sorrow. This is why David does not worship these other gods. He doesn't give these gods what they desire. He will not worship them because they do not give the people the security they seek for, unlike the God that he worships. We also see God as the giver of life in verses 11, how the path of life is made known to David. We see this again in verses 10, written in a different way, that God will not abandon David to the realms of the dead. So while we can live in, I guess we can say our lives is full of insecurities, one of the big insecurities and unknowns that we all face is death. Death is definite, it is part of our life, and death ends what we call life. So this is why David can rejoice. And he says, I can rejoice and be glad to celebrate and to rest secure, because he believes that God has ultimately dealt with his ultimate insecurity of life, which is death. So I'm going to stop here for a bit and ask if there's any questions that you might have from the passage. So in your table groups again, I want you guys to discuss, can you relate to David's feeling at the end of the psalm? And maybe if you can, yes, or you can't, why not? Cool, okay. I'm going to keep continuing. So I don't know what you guys discussed, so I'll just, yeah. But to continue, I was wondering, maybe you didn't, you couldn't really relate to how David was feeling, because you were feeling unsure, because there was the question of whether David, you know, David's security and happiness in this God has been misplaced, maybe, since we know who King David is. He was a human. He still ended up dying like all the other normal humans would. And whether this God that he talks about in the psalm is just a figment of his imagination, that he's just thought, yep, there's a God out there who is like this to me, and that's what I believe. So to answer these questions, we need to travel forward many centuries, to the first century AD, to look at the life of the person Jesus. Okay, the person of Jesus, he, I reckon, is the key to unlocking how we understand and read David's psalm. So centuries after David, Jesus appears on the scene and he claims this psalm for his own. He does that in two ways. He claims this psalm for his own, firstly, because he was a Jew. He was a Jewish man who grew up and would have learnt and sung this song, exactly the same song that any other Jews would have, and they would have done it probably every week at the worship place. And he would have also believed and worshipped this God that David did. Secondly, he also claimed this song to be his own because his life was a reflection of David's life and a reflection of this psalm. So Jesus was born and raised as a carpenter's son, similar to that of David's humble beginnings as a shepherd boy. His life was constantly under threat. Even at a young age, he had to seek refuge in Egypt during his early life. Again, similar to David. He claimed to be the king of Israel, which was what David was. He did amazing things during his life and contributed them to God. But David also did that in his life. And finally, Jesus loved God and had a special relationship with God, which is also what David, being the king of Israel, had with this God. But however, while David called God using God's personal name, Yahweh, Jesus takes another step and he calls God Abba Father. Now, why do I point this out? It's because here, who the God David is singing to in the psalm is revealed in a deeper way through the person of Jesus. So while David had a close relationship with God, Jesus is claiming a much closer relationship with God. Jesus isn't painting a new picture of God here. He's actually building and revealing more of who this God in the old psalm is. As we know, a father is what gives life to a child. A father is a person who protects and looks out for his child. A father is a person who instructs and teaches his child. And a father is a person who the child delights and enjoys being with. I don't know how my primary teacher, Penny, would have felt if I call her mom, and what the other people might have felt if I called her that. It would be super weird. And that was exactly what the Jews felt when Jesus called God Father. But Jesus knew from the start that he had this intimate relationship with God, and he did not hide that from people nor his disciples, but he spoke about it often. We see this in Gospels, like the Gospel of John, where in John 3:35, it talks, "The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands." It was this God in Psalm 16, in which Jesus has placed his trust and security in. And this also led Jesus into all sorts of troubles with the Jewish leaders, and it ultimately led him to the cross. Now, most of us feel that if this was a relationship I had with this person that led me to all sorts of troubles, including being crucified, it's probably not worth keeping and to go through with it. And that was exactly, while hanging on the cross, the insults that was thrown at him was the question that we are left asking is, if God is your Father, Jesus, that you love so much and he loves you so much, why are you hanging on the cross? Why are you condemned to death? If God, that David describes in the psalm, is true, it doesn't make sense that the Holy One, which you're claiming to be, is right now hanging on the cross. So the question is, has Jesus and David misplaced their trust and security on something that isn't really true? And the answer, I would say, is no. They haven't misplaced their trust in God because Jesus rose back to life 3 days later. He didn't rise and then later died again. He rose and is alive today. So Jesus' faith in his Father is actually the exact reflection of the God in David's song. So hence, Jesus also went to death confident in what was ahead of him, so confident that he even told the disciples at three different occasions beforehand that this will happen, yet the disciples did not understand what he was talking about. The God that David sung, is true and is proven to be true because of a human being brought back to life. Yahweh did not forsake his Holy One and has risen him to life. And this is the good news that Christians share about. It's the good news that Jesus looked ahead and saw and sung about. We see also in Acts 2, verses 29 to 36, where it talks about this. So he goes, "Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. but he was a prophet that knew that God had promised him an oath that he would be placing one of his descendants on the throne. So seeing what was ahead, David, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ. He was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has risen Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact. Therefore, let Israel be assured of this. God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So David's faith in this God is proven true because of the events of Jesus. The song that David wrote isn't an empty song, but it's the one of faith and confidence in God. Jesus sung the song and fulfilled it through his action. And it leaves us thinking today is, what does it mean for us? So turning to the person next to you, discuss this question. If there is a possibility of the physical resurrection after you die, how might it change the way you live now? Big question. Are there any questions that you guys want to ask about the passage? Yeah. No questions? Okay. Questions? Anything?
That's a great answer.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's a great answer. Sure. Like, worry less, possibly a bit more reckless.
That's true. You can be a bit reckless. Yep.
A godly way.
Okay. In a godly way. You have to probably describe that a bit. Okay. Well, feel free to come and ask me questions. So what I'll do, I'll just wrap up a little bit. So hopefully I was trying to kind of take you guys through is we started seeing life and describing life. And I think we know it for ourselves. Life is very insecure. There's no such thing as 100% security in our life. However, in this psalm, David shows us through Jesus as well that there is such thing as 100% security in life and that we seek refuge in this God called Yahweh and who we can call Father. The fact I feel like sometimes we might not feel that even though we say that we are insecure, but we kind of have this false sense of security within ourselves is because we place our security in many different things. We might put a little bit in our relationships, a bit of work, in our studies, a little bit of wealth, maybe even our philosophy and, you know, ways of life. So if one fails, we go, oh, that's okay. I'm not at loss because I still have all these other ones to back up. But it's when we lose everything, then we can realize that actually, where do we really hold our security? And this is where David and Jesus shows us, is that our security should be completely and wholly placed in one location, in God, who we call Father because of Christ. This is the God that David calls his people to place his trust in. And it's a God that Jesus proves to be true to his word by raising him from the dead. This provides us assurance for our security in life and in the next life. I understand if you aren't convinced, but I encourage you to seek this out for yourself with a friend or by yourself by reading the accounts of Jesus' life. We do have Bibles and the Gospels over there. And if you already have one lying around the home, I encourage you to open it up to start reading. I also encourage you to come back next week to hear more talks on Psalms to help you think through and know and understand who the God of the Bible is. So I'm going to pray to finish off and I'll get Albert to come up to pray as well with me. So... God, Father, we thank you so much that you revealed yourself as Father to us through the person of Jesus. We see the love that you have for your Son, and we see his love for you. And we thank you that you allow us to experience this love for ourselves as we turn to faith in what Jesus does. We thank you for the security and assurance that we have in now, as we live life, that you are in control, that you seek our good, and that we can trust and rely on you and seek refuge in you in all that we go through. And we ask all these things and pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, so, dear and Father, thank you for seeing this talk tonight. As we encourage that we should be able to take this application on God's, on seeing this talk, and be able to, to apply all of this to us and lives as well. And, first, I'd like to pray, thank God for his beautiful inheritance that's given us. Just pray that he will help us to put trust in ourselves in every circumstances that we are currently facing. So such as other situations that we have endeavored and be able to overcome these problems. I'd like to pray for the Christian Union, for Union of New England, Armadale. Pray for its taxitosi coming up this weekend. Where a person have to tax question relates to God or Christianity, and even theodicy. Just pray that this text of theodicy will be well smooth, and that people will have the opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel message on his Christianity as well. And lastly, pray for the earthquake in Mexico. Just pray that the people there will be safe, and that the earthquake will be well smooth, and that God will comfort all of the people that is affected. And just pray that the Christian community will be smooth as well in all circumstances as well. And we pray for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.